Tuesday meeting's called to order. Thank you for your patience. Our closed session went a little longer than planned, so the meeting's called to order. We have a roll call, please.
Supervisor Flynn?
Here.
Supervisor McPherson?
Here.
Councilmember Matthews?
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas?
Here.
Councilmember Reed?
Here.
Councilmember Termini? Citizen English?
Here.
Citizen Dexter?
Here.
Citizen Gert?
Here.
Thank you. Councilmember Termini said he wouldn't be attending this meeting. He had a previous engagement. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda for July 1st. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by
Nancy. Go ahead.
Motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Supervisor McPherson. We have all those in favor?
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Next item, oral communications. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to an item that's not on the agenda this evening? Please step forward. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Marilyn Garrett. I'm a retired teacher. I used to take my children to the library all the time, get 30 books at a time, walking trips, etc., in Watsonville. And in those days, the libraries were safer. They weren't places that had this microwave radiation from wireless technology. The evidence of damage goes way back 80 years. All this wireless technology was based on microwave radiation. And I was looking through my files of when I had been here before many times, but I'm going to resubmit this one. I need to make copies. This is from February of 2011. And quotes a librarian in an article called Librarians Public Library Wi-Fi Free. And she states in part, a shining example of the alternatives in action is the National Library of France, the equivalent of our Library of Congress. France's National Library recently placed a moratorium on Wi-Fi and exchanged microwave radiation for wired connections. They based their decision on scientific medical research demonstrating harm from electropollution. The library consists of 15 million holdings located in four tower buildings, a staff of 2,500 employees, and a budget of $254 million. I respect that the Santa Cruz Public Libraries have always strived to accommodate patrons with disabilities. However, since Wi-Fi has been installed in the libraries, those with electromagnetic hypersensitivity or radio wave sickness have been denied equal access to our libraries. Since 2002, electromagnetic hypersensitivity is recognized by the U.S. Access Board, which is the federal agency that enforces the Americans with Disabilities Act. Therefore, in order to accommodate all library patrons, all, not just those who are hooked on the wireless microwave stuff, all library patrons, Wi-Fi must be removed immediately from our libraries. I'm going to leave you a packet put together on no Wi-Fi in schools. It has to do with everywhere. I am appalled as a parent, a retired teacher, at the lack of responsibility taken by people to protect children from this microwave radiation assault. And anybody in good conscience who has this job,
ma'am,
if you're not doing your job to protect children from microwave radiation, what are you doing sitting here? So I'm going to give you this. Please take one and pass the rest down. One of the more recent ones is the American Academy of Environmental Medicine doctors opposing Wi-Fi as a known risk. You'll see their statement in there to LA City Schools very recently, March.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to an item that's not on the agenda or for an item that does not appear on tonight's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is the volunteer program. And so, Denise, a few stuff.
Thank you, good evening, and thank you so much for letting me tell you what we've been up to the past 5 months, a little bit of an update. As you may know, I started on February 3rd here at the library, and happily first things we did was review some of our policies. We met with the city attorney to go over our liability form. We also worked with the city to really strengthen our background check policy, make sure that any volunteers who work unsupervised with vulnerable populations, and that would be our book buddies who go into people's homes, or we have two chess coaches, one at MLS and one here, who work in a room where they're not supervised by staff or within view of staff. So we work with the city, our volunteers go through the live scan process, the results go to the city, city HR department lets me know, and then they bill the library. Very simple. We thought it would be really complicated, but it's worked out really well. We also reviewed our handbook. We did have a handbook in place, but I went through it, added some things, removed some things, tightened it up a bit, and one of our AmeriCorps volunteers, who you'll hear more about in a minute, was able to do a nice desktop version of that. So instead of going through a printer, sending it out to be printed, we can now print it off the desktop as needed and also make any edits as we go. So we did a lot of kind of unfun things to make sure that the program was really stable and in good condition. And then we started working with our wonderful programming staff and our PICs and anybody else who could utilize volunteers in their programs. And we happily added three new programs. We beefed up the Tales to Tales program. Aptos is going to start in 2 weeks, week and a half. Are you familiar with the Tales to Tales program? Yeah, it's a wonderful program. So ultimately, according to Laura Whaley, our programming librarian responsible for that, we're going to just take over the world, but Aptos is next. We also have space in every issue of the Friends newsletter now to talk about our volunteer program. The one coming out in July will feature the Tales to Tales program. I've met with the folks from the Genealogical Society and the Friends at La Selva Beach just to kind of establish a relationship and get to know those folks. And it's been wonderful fun. I can't tell you what a great opportunity this is. And what I've done is put together a few statistics you can look at, how many volunteers we have, how many hours. Pass those around. I don't have the results, the numbers in yet for July. July 1st, I should have those in a week or so. It's a little bit like herding cats, managing a volunteer program. It's a lot like managing a human resources department without the pay, role, or the benefits. But it changes not just daily, but maybe every hour, depending on who stays, who goes, applications we get. But I think we're on a really good track, and we'll be able to start compiling a year's worth of data pretty soon. So, we also had a wonderful time trying to come up with a way to recognize our volunteers during National Volunteer Week, which is the third week of April. And we checked with the PICs to see what they would prefer for the volunteers in their branches. And instead of orchestrating parties or anything splashy, they thought if we in the volunteer office could come up with a gift, deliver them to the branches and the volunteers there, and then they could hand them to their volunteers, that would work. So we found these great book bags, which I'll pass around, and inside each one we put a bookmark and a pen, a letter signed by Teresa and David, personalized with their name, not just Dear Volunteer. And then depending on where they lived in the county, whether it's South, Central, or North County, we had a little gift certificate, either to Gail's Bakery, the Penny Ice Creamery, or the Cupcake, what is it? Cutesy Cupcakes in Scotts Valley. That was a big hit. And then we also put a letter in from the volunteer office. And for our Tales to Tales volunteers, we put in dog biscuits, thanks to Teresa's dog, who so generously donated some of his biscuits for the dogs. And we put a little tag on each one, said thank you on one side and the volunteer's name on the other. And we had great fun and got really good feedback from the volunteers. So there's some great fun aspects to this job as well. Before I close, fortunate to work with AmeriCorps volunteers, and Amy, I'd like to introduce you. This is Amy Pipkin, who is an AmeriCorps VIP fellow. Her partner, Jenna Shelton, could not be with us this evening, but she also is in our office, and I think the three of us are the three musketeers. Now, I could not have done it without your support. Amy and Jenna arrived in August, so they have 6 months under their belts already by the time I got here. And they're leaving in August. So this is the last board meeting, the first and last board meeting.
Thanks to meet you.
So we have a little something for you. Not to embarrass you, but maybe to embarrass you. And I'm going to read this, okay. Through the Volunteer Infrastructure Project, which is the AmeriCorps VIP project, members provide infrastructure support for volunteer programs in nonprofit and educational organizations. Amy and Jenna arrived in Santa Cruz in August 2012 as VIP fellows and immediately set to work learning about the Santa Cruz Public Libraries, visiting all the branches, and identifying volunteer program strengths and gaps. To say they had to be a quick study is an understatement. They hit the ground running and haven't stopped yet, right? Amy has her BS from Chapman University and is passionate about libraries and people. She truly has a gift when it comes to working with people, to meeting people, and putting them at ease. And so a lot of what Amy focuses on is interviewing our new volunteers and training them and making sure they're comfortable in their roles. Even though Jenna's not here, I'll tell you a little bit about Jenna. She received her BA from Seattle University. She is our go-to tech person. She will handle any tech problem without blinking an eye or swearing or anything. She just does it. She's amazing. And she actually was in Los Angeles this past week pursuing her dream, which is to start in the film industry. And she has an internship already and is reading scripts this evening, right? Yeah. So bright and creative and confident women, we are so fortunate. Like to present you with this plaque. Teresa, would you like?
I just want to say that not only did they come in under, well, they came in under one supervisor, and then shortly thereafter, they were an interim supervisor. Mm-hmm. I mean, Laura Whaley became a librarian. We brought somebody else in to do it temporarily until we hired Denise. So Amy and Jenna have been the constants in that office this entire year, so it's we really put a lot of extra focus on you guys to try to get keep it together, and they did a great job. And actually, Amy's going to be staying on as a library aide for us. We hope to get her on eventually in some other capacity, but she's going to stay with us. Jenna's going on to she's going to LA, so that's her problem. Amy, I think, made the right decision. We're glad you're sticking around. We hope you have a future with us. She's taking library technology classes, and I'm hoping to convince her to go to library school. So, thank you.
And hopefully she'll include on her resume that she had experience here at the library as part of her burgeoning film career.
She'll mention us at the Oscars.
All right, great.
She's done a lot of taping for us of programs and trainings and other things, so we're giving her film experience.
Great.
We're also, if I might just add, I forgot, Amy and Jenna are creating a volunteer recruitment video that will appear on our website. So
wonderful.
Her career is starting. Amy's doing the writing. Great.
Great. Thank you very much. So we're going to move on to the next item, which, in keeping with the same topic, deals with staff recognition. So I think I'm turning over to you, Teresa.
Yep. I don't believe any of the people being recognized this month are here. I will say that Jeannie O'Grady is in Chicago at the American Library Association conference. We actually sent three staff this year, two librarians and an information specialist, who many of you know, Leslie Auerbach. So they're there now. Has anybody heard anything from them? Are they alive, or they're having so much fun that they're having a good time. That's what's important. They're learning a lot. They're having a good time. So other than that, no, they're not here, but they're getting their rewards.
Great. Well, congratulations to each of them. So if there's nothing more on this report, we'll move on to the next item, which is the member reports. Is there anyone for any of the member committees like to speak on the topic?
Just a brief update on the finance subcommittee. We do not meet this month, but we are working on a document to describe our roles and to try to put some parameters around what's expected. And there's been one cut at it, and I'm looking forward to having some inputs from other members. I'd like to suggest that we have a standing item here where each of the standing committees provides an update each month. Is this the place where
this is
go?
The place.
And so I think the strategic plan, the facilities master plan committee is critically important. I hope we're going to get an update on that at each meeting.
Okay. If there's something to update regarding that,
it's later
on the agenda as a scheduled item. Okay, thank you, Dick. Okay, the next item is our consent agenda, so I don't know if any member would like to pull one item, or we'll vote for these all in one motion.
Yeah, I'd like to have a brief discussion on the IT manager job description.
Okay, so that's F. So pull that. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to any items from A through G, except for F, that's on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to
the board. Balance.
Okay, move the balance. Councilmember Matthews, second.
Second.
Second board member here. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes unanimously. So we'll go to item G.
Can I ask where you want the put the IT manager? Do you want to put
right
it
now?
Like
yeah. Let's just go through it right now.
Oh, right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. So just pull. So library information technology manager. Do you have any questions for the report?
Yeah. Just a couple of quick ones.
Okay.
One is the job description doesn't say where that person reports. And I don't know if that's not a standard part of the public job description.
It says reports to library manager system services.
I must have missed it.
Where very top.
Very top.
Okay, got it. Okay, so it doesn't report to you.
It reports to Emily.
Okay.
That was the restructuring. That's one of the changes we made in the restructuring.
Okay. And the other is on the second page. It's interesting to see that there's a discussion about driver's license, but it makes it sound like it's okay if they don't have a driver's license. And given that we have a 10-branch system, it seems like it's kind of important for people to be able to navigate around the system. So is that not a requirement?
Legally, no. No. As long as the person can make it to where they need to go, they don't have to have a driver's license. They could have a chauffeur, they could take a bus, but there's certain legal requirements, and that's how it's worded, and this is standard when it comes to city job descriptions.
So if it's a functional requirement of the job to be able to get to the different branches?
There's different ways to get places, and we cannot require that they do it by driving their own vehicle or a city vehicle.
So you're suggesting we take a look at it?
Well, it sounds to me like that's the answer. So
okay.
We can say that they need to be able to get to the locations, but we cannot specify how they do it.
Any other questions from the board regarding this item?
I inferred it but didn't see it explicitly. You'd expect this to come on in September?
Yes, it'll come before City Council. It's going to be on your July 23rd agenda, we hope, which we can then start advertising.
And then you advertise.
And then we have, we just wanted to get in for everybody to vote for August.
Okay. Any other questions regarding this item?
Public?
Members of the public like to speak to this item? No? See,
then
I'll bring it back.
I'll go ahead and move the recommendation.
Council Member Matthews, the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Board Member Dexter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Passes unanimously. Moving to the next item on the agenda is the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Library report.
Linda Hastings from the Friends Board. And I also a volunteer at the library.
made it over to the booth.
Okay, the ice cream, but I'm going.
Perfect day to go.
This past month, one of the things we've done is we hosted an event called Wine in the Stacks over at the Brant Supporting Branch with poet David Swagner there. And, it was a neighborhood event. Many people, just walked in. They had about 50 people come in, and everybody had a great time. And so the Friends hope to sponsor something similar in some of the other branches and make it more a neighborhood event and get the people that live nearby involved with the branches. We hosted our annual board meeting, and we elected members to the board, and we also passed a budget for next year, and we look forward to trying to raise even more money to support our library programs. We hired a new manager, sad to say farewell to Emily Hirscher, but our future plans right now, on Monday, July 29th, we'll be at Discretion Brewing off of 41st Avenue in Capitola, and they will donate 20% of the day's beer sales to the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries. Hopefully, things will go well there, and come and hang out with the book lovers and enjoy beer for a good cause. And I'm sure they have many very great types of beer there. This is one of the special events of the summer. Is we're sponsoring the Kids Summer Reading Program, and that will. I've been at Capitola seeing some of the activities going on, and it's fun to see the children so enthused about the reading program. And they will all get $10 of credit to use in our bookstore downstairs. And we're also asking for special donations of gently used children's books, because that will have a sale of children's books at the Harvey West event on
July 28th.
What is it?
Sunday, July 28th.
July 28th, yes. And so we hope to have a lot of books for the children to choose from. And you're certainly welcome to come out and be with the kids. And I'm not sure what are they serving out there. I know we used to serve hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot
actually,
dog
I was.
Something and have a good time with all the children.
My Rotary Club is serving the food, and we still need help. So if anybody is interested in helping to serve the hot dogs, talk to me, and I'll sign you up for a shift.
Thank you. If I could piggyback on that report, I mean, we did not mention this at our last board meeting, but I'm pleased to announce that we have 100% board participation in the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Library. So every single board of your organization, and actually at our most recent Santa Cruz City Council member, Council Member Cynthia Matthews and I made a call out to every city council member and encouraged them to be board members as well. And we will keep following up on that to ensure that we look to get a board of participation from our colleagues on the city council and encourage all of our other board members to reach out to their colleagues on respective bodies to become members as well.
Thank you very much, Jim.
I give full credit to David. He not only made the pitch, he handed out envelopes. And I think seriously, what is it without follow through? And the majority already are members. But
yes.
Anyway, the pitch was made. And I also want to mention, I read the activities report. There's so many events. The
marionettes
overnight.
Oh, the animals.
Yeah. All these things. And I kind of assume you do this already, but I just thought I'd ask anyway. If before, there's the dances, the marionettes, the surfing musician, the family movies. And it just seems to me before every single event, there should be a pitch for the Friends. And I don't know if you go to Shakespeare Santa Cruz every single time, or Cabrillo Festival, every single time, they stand up and make the pitch. So it seems to me that's your most natural audience.
We're working on it.
Yeah, but really, those are your most likely members. Yeah.
That's
volunteers in the nonprofit.
Great. Well, thank you. Okay, we'll move on the agenda to the staff reports.
Cynthia said it. We're just super busy with summer readings. Mm-hmm. Off to a flying start. Mm-hmm. Marionettes, I think we're 100. Nancy, I don't know. Were you there? 104 people in the Felton Library. I don't know how they did it.
I couldn't fit them all in. A lot of the adults couldn't see because they couldn't. They were behind the staff.
134.
That's kind of a disaster.
134 in La Selva Beach. I mean,
wow. They're very popular.
Yeah, we had 9 shows in 3 days, and some people told us they went to more than one show in a day. I mean,
that's great.
So anyway, it's been very, very. Great. Numbers are just out the roof, and I hope to see you all. Even if you don't want to help serve food, I'll give you a free hot dog. But hope to see you at the festival.
You have veggie burgers.
Hmm? This is veggie dogs.
Yeah,
I will have veggie dogs. Okay, so where are we? Statistical report, it's pretty much the same. Jesse's still looking into the CERC numbers. We are starting to get self-check stats, and I'm going to try to look at those before the, well, have before the September meeting, of course. We'll have the year-end data by the next meeting. So we're holding our own, and visitors per hour is down a little bit, but I think that's to be expected given the way electronic stuff is happening. So comparators, the financial report. Marcus cannot be here tonight. He had a conflict with another board that he's on. Hopefully that won't happen all the time. He's with Tina on every negotiating team. So last week he literally was in negotiations every single day. So I told him, just have this for me for Monday night. That's why you didn't get it by Thursday. I mean, he couldn't do it. So he did add some things that had been asked for. The trust funds are down there. I will mention that the Morley Trust, which shows $111, that's because we actually appropriated that money for the budget this year. That was for La Selva Beach, and we didn't use it. So it's going to move back into the trust, and it's about $12,322 that will move back into the trust, but that's why it's not showing in the trust. It's in our regular budget at the moment. It hasn't been spent, so it's still there and available. All the indicators are looking really good. It's July 1, so we're done, but I don't know what obviously the numbers are still coming in, so we did do a push there at the end. I don't know if you noticed when you came in. Came in the front door, do you notice the new floor mat with our logo on it?
See the paintings.
Aramark, who we rented floor mats from, really upped our cost this year. And so we looked into it and found that it would be less expensive in the long run over a couple of years to buy our own mats, and they clean very well, and we got them with our logo on it, and that's going out to all the branches. They're delivering them slowly, so notice it on your way out. So that was a big expenditure at the end of the year. So we had a lot of those big expenditures that aren't showing yet, but we still did really well. So are there any questions? And hopefully I can answer them. And if not, I will refer them to Marcus and get back to you.
Thanks for including the comparators and materials expenditures here.
Yes.
I know, Dick, you brought that up at the last board meeting, and I'm happy to see that it's included. So just to give an idea of where we fall.
Yes, and it's a good place for when you ask for data on other places. There may be certain times when certain data and certain comparators are more important. Is population more important for this? Is expenditures more important for this? And actually, Martha, right. Arlington
well,
Library.
That
is
was my library. Arlington, Virginia Public Library was the library that I used before I came here. And I thought it was very interesting that it compared in service population and
operating expenditures.
Right, which I found out. But their percentage of materials was 13% as opposed to what we've been 7. And I got to say, you can really tell the difference. The size of the waiting lists were considerably smaller. The number of copies of popular titles, the breadth of the collection, it was a lot. Well, you can tell it's almost twice as much in expenditures this year. So the more we can move it up, I think, the better.
I'll also tell you that the Anna Gruber money that we got for spending on Brands of 40, we spent half of it this year was spent, half of it last year, half of it was spent this year. One patron was so excited about the materials that were available that she called the Sentinel, and they're doing a story. I'm meeting with them on Wednesday to talk about it, and they're going to do a story on it. So I'm hoping that spurs some more planned giving, but it's just shows
that. Was that dedicated to a certain kind of book?
No, it was had to be Brands of 40. So the materials are landing at Brands of 40 first, and then eventually they'll go out to the rest of the system. But we did have to start them there as part of the agreement. So so it does show them what an influx of materials can do.
On the added materials front, it just occurred to me that as we spend more and more money on materials, do we have physical space to...
If we buy the right materials, yes, because they won't be on the shelf.
So it'll be more electronic materials, or you're saying...
No. Even if we buy more physical materials, if we buy the right physical materials, if they're what people want, they'll check them out and they'll land there, but then they'll be out.
They'll never be in the library. They're just going to be circulating.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah, there are some places with no room, but hopefully we'll make room for the new popular stuff, and you know, we have to hide other stuff away in boxes.
Compact shop.
And Jim just mentioned to me, get that patron's name for the eventual campaign.
Yeah.
No, a serious suggestion.
You're right.
That's you guys, else. If you come across a genuine can-do, takes initiative enthusiast, get their name to...
Yeah, I've invited the friends to join me for that interview because they are starting a planned giving campaign. And that's really, we want those to go through them rather than...
For the ballot measure, too.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Thank you, Teresa.
That kind of takes care of the next item, so we're done with information items.
There's no board action required. Is anyone who would like to speak to these items as far as the report? Okay, we'll bring it back and move to other business.
Actually, Cynthia is going to present this on the update on the facilities master plan, since Jim couldn't be at the meeting.
We have continued to meet, and at the last meeting, Gene Bregman, who's the pollster, who's worked with many local ballot measures, joined us, and we had a good discussion of how to frame the questions and timing and so forth. And we also discussed the fact that this has to... incorporate the more detailed information that we would get from the financial consultant on exactly what approximate and ultimately specific dollar amount would be connected with either a parcel tax or bonding to achieve the facilities master plan goals that we had in mind, and that these two have to work together. So the Facilities Master Plan Committee is bringing forward a recommendation that this board approve a motion authorizing the director to execute contracts during the coming fiscal year for both the financial planning to get more details on the dollar amounts and polling so that we can move towards a ballot measure ultimately. So that's the recommendation for you. And I don't know if you want to add anything.
Are there any questions? Board Member English?
The first point that I'd like to make is that when the plan was accepted, the word accepted was discussed here, and the interpretation that I retained was that we were literally saying to the consultant that prepared the plan, we got it. Mm-hmm. You know, you handed it off and we've got it. That the word accepted did not mean that the board accepted the plan as it was presented as our vision of what we intended to execute in terms of a facilities master plan. And so I think that this may be semantics, but I think it's important semantics because I think that there were reservations on the part of several of us as to whether we would totally subscribe to the proposal that was put forth by Group 4. So I'm not sure that we really do have a vision at this point in time that we are ready to present to our public to say, here's the picture that we're thinking about. What do you think about how this picture would affect you and your library interactions? So I'm not sure how to take this forward other than to say that I'm not sure that we're ready yet to start asking people their opinions about a facilities master plan, because I'm not sure we can describe what we would do with the monies if and when we receive them.
And there is a bit of a chicken and egg to all of this, because our vision could be one thing, and I've been involved in a couple of capital campaigns like this where the grand vision was held and shared, but it was the wrong price point. And so, and admittedly, on some of the sites particularly, we had options, which were pretty different from one another. So I can understand your point of view. On the other side of this, I think, is that at some point we have to get a sense of what general level is the public willing to go for. And the thought Gene's comment was, and we on the committee agreed with him, that it should be a campaign in which there is something for every part of the county, every branch benefits. So every library patron could see their favorite, their local, their regional branch improving as a result of this.
I think the other, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
This first poll, there may well need to be a second poll that is specific. This poll is more, and you will, we are planning to send the questions to board members. You can respond directly to me, not to each other, obviously, to find out what is the appetite. Once we know kind of what kind of money, like Cynthia said, what is the price point, so then we can start thinking about what is it can we do and which options would we go for. So this is really just a very preliminary step that is, Gene is definitely recommending we need to do this, because otherwise we don't know what to ask, because we don't want to ask for too much. So this is to find out what should we ask. And I've seen kind of a preview of some of the kinds of questions that he would ask. He showed me a couple of polls he's used. And it really is more finding out what's the appetite, what do you like about the library in a sense, what do you use, what do you like, what don't you like. So that from that we find out what are people looking for, and what are the places where we're going to have problems, and what do we need to address. You know, are we finding out that in the Capitola area there's a certain angst about something, so that we can address that when we develop what you're talking about, which is actually what are we going to do.
And the phasing time frame as well.
So we're not visualizing then in this first polling that we need to describe the group four proposal as this is our vision.
No.
That's still being held in reserve, if you want to, for what the sizing suggests and what we decide to do.
I would say in a general sense, yes, but in specifics, no. And particularly because that plan has different specifics for some of the sites. And also, we don't have to do it. I mean, this Gene talked to us that he could turn this around and do it in July or August, but it doesn't have to be done right then either. I think it would be helpful to give us the lay of the land.
Well, I'd second Dick's concerns. I'm not sure, the polling, if we authorized, so, and I apologize, I didn't make the last facilities committee meeting, so which was an important one, but I think definitely we're going to have to take two shots at this, and I don't know if it was the $50,000 we put into it, would that be enough for two polls or not?
The money we put into it is enough for the initial poll and the financial advisor, so you'd have to authorize more money for a second poll, but we don't know when that second poll would be.
I think that you're polling, I mean, we have a big difference of, the low figure and the high one. It goes from about 20 to 80 or something. Mm-hmm. And so that's huge, and I think people are going to say, how much would it cost me, and what will it do for me? And I'm not sure that how you go about getting that done or the initial poll, but I think to have some legitimate answers of what people, how far they'll go, we're going to have sense of where, what's first. And that doesn't mean it's exactly the top priority. It's just that some people, we're going to think that they should get something before others. And it's pretty clear that the main branch is going to, is in the most need because it's the most visited and so forth, and it has the most need. But I just think that, you know, they're going to have a sense, a better sense of something's going to be in this for me. And when I look at some of the libraries, they're going to get less than what they think, and others are going to be asking for more than they've been promised before. I think there's got to be some, we have to give some kind of a message that everybody's going to get something on this thing. And I don't know if we should set up a priority list. I caution against that in a way because we want to have everybody get to be part of it. But on the other hand, I think that some people are going to want to know something's in this for me. But what am I paying for?
Any other board member comments or questions?
Well, I'll just speak on a couple of things. First of all, just the priorities versus the phasing. I think those are two different aspects. We talk more about, certainly, there should be something for all branches, all parts of the county in this. And probably the best way to talk about it was not priorities, but phasing. And we actually met also with Michael Zelber. I don't know, some of you may know him. Great local contractor. He's worked with the city on the Tannery Arts Center in the Warriors. He's just got a great sense of construction management. And it was basically just to get a reading of how many projects can the system handle. I mean, some of them are way ambitious and some not so much. So, I mean, that's part of the phasing too. But I think if there's a commitment that they will happen in some credible time frame, that enters into it. So that was one thing. And just in terms of, again, this dance between the dream and the reality of what's there, what are people willing to give and what they approve in a revenue measure, the three of the capital campaigns that I was involved with were nonprofit drives. One was for the Santa Cruz High Centennial, one for the Museum of Art and History, and one for the Boys and Girls Club in Mid-County in Live Oak. And in all cases, we work not with a pollster, but with a private fundraising group that goes out and talks to your key potential donors and say, here's the big vision. I know you know this.
Yeah,
you know, what level of enthusiasm, support, it's kind of a fact-finding thing. And in a private capital campaign, you do that with certain key decision makers and potential donors. And a revenue measure, you do it with your voters. So I think that's kind of what this is going out and testing the interest, the issues, the level of support, and then refining it in terms of the scope and the phasing, and then coming back again. That's just the way I see it.
I know, it's difficult. I just think that some, you know, for instance, redevelopment team, and both the unincorporated areas and the cities have taken, you know, been able to mm-hmm. use some of that help endeavors of the library system, and others didn't have the foresight to do that. And now that we're in a different age, I just don't want to have them be almost, their needs are greater than others, I think, who have been able to benefit because they were forward-looking. They got the funding to commit to some of the library system. And I think we know, you know, who we're talking, you know, Capitol, the Felton, Aptos is probably too small for what the needs are. But the redevelopment monies weren't there, so we're talking a different situation in financing here, too, I think. I just want to get a clearer picture of where are the first needs that we want. And I think people are going to want to know that either this time or next if we have another poll. Board member Kirk?
This question for the committee, will Watsonville be part of the poll?
We saw this as a Santa Cruz City, City County Public Library System, so the answer is no.
Okay.
In the sales tax measure, it was,
mm-hmm.
but
separate system, as you know. So this we saw as being just for our.
So that would be possible to have a bond measure without.
Yeah, apparently. And yes. This question has been asked of Teresa. I think Mond Council has said yes.
Yes.
But we're double checking, but yes.
Okay.
The indication is yes.
Okay. And then my second question is, the joint powers agreement is due to renew in 2017. Mm-hmm. So in terms of bond issuance, if we went out and actually won a bond, mm-hmm. which I hope we do, somewhere between now and then, mm-hmm. Would we be able to actually have a bond agency issue bonds mm-hmm. without the joint powers agreement having been renewed? I mean,
we are going to ask that. We're going to ask that question of our
to Tim
and to Tim once we hired him.
Tim is with the
right. No, I remember him. But isn't that something we want to know? I mean, before we actually do a poll, because isn't that kind of getting ahead of ourselves?
We will know before we do a poll. But we need to hire him. We can't keep asking him for free advice. He's given us a lot of his time.
So this is really two separate items.
Yeah.
One is to enter into a contract with Gene, and the other is to enter into a contract with Tim to do much more specific, both legal and fiscal projections.
The two of them do work together.
Yeah.
So
that's the first question for Tim, then. Is that his name?
Yes.
Tim?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I hear where Dick and Bruce are coming from, and is this the right time? And we need to be careful about how soon we go forward if we don't have a plan that's not 1,000% baked down. But I guess the way I look at it now, the elephant in the room here really is what the public's appetite is going to be. And until we have some level of something more than guesswork about that, what that's going to be, I don't see how we can move forward to the next phase that we're talking about and get the plan to a more final point if we don't have data that tells us what people are going to support. I mean, we've got a range that an eight-figure range that goes to upper eight figures to lower eight figures, and we need to figure out real soon if we're looking near term, where are we within that range? And I just don't know. I'm not against anything of what you're saying, Bruce and Dick, but I just don't know how we can move forward in a meaningful way until we get some objective analysis of what that number is. Once we know, you know, we think this number is going to pull, if it starts out in the low 70s, then, you know, we can say low 70s, we're comfortable taking that risk. We would be comfortable going forward with a dollar amount of approximately that amount. And then I'll just pull a number out of the air. Let's say that's $40 million. Let's figure out how to prioritize that $40 million. And then when we do get closer to whenever a ballot decision would be, let's test again, make sure that we still think $40 million is right, and change accordingly. But I just don't know. I don't know how we move this forward if we don't get some objective data about what the voters are going to support.
Quickly, to that point, Vice Mayor Reed, I share in the concerns that were presented in the sense that I'd be interested to see what a poll will show, the validity of a poll that doesn't actually ask for anything. I think to Supervisor McPherson's point, the city of Santa Cruz or Aptos may be willing to give significantly more when presented with a solution that would provide significantly more. So if you were to poll, if I got a call from Gene, who's great, I mean, for those who don't know him, but tomorrow, and it just sort of lays out these hypotheticals. Do you think that there's enough branches? How many hours are they open? What are they doing well? Should there be more digital materials? I mean, all these baseline questions that you always ask. And I assume this information will be disaggregated by,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yes.
The reality is whether I'd be willing to put $100 on my property tax or $500 has to do with whether or not it's relevant to my family, right? And that this is not going to answer that. So the problem with the poll, although I mean I'm willing to go along with what will eventually be a motion here just to get home, is in the reality the fight is really going to be and the argument's really going to be of what that really means, because somebody. There's two underlying issues. One is that there's going to be, we're assuming, and we've been briefed on this numerous times with our budget, that things are going to be getting better. So I might not be willing to give any money this year. Maybe I'd be willing next year, but my baseline assumption is based on this year. That's snapshot problem number one. And snapshot problem number two is that how much I'm willing to give is totally contingent upon whether I think, as Supervisor McPherson was stating, what's in it for our local branch. So I think that this is the very beginning of a conversation. It's kind of a lot of money for a very beginning of a conversation. I think it's sort of, and it also, I assume, makes the assumption that we're going out in 14. I mean, otherwise it's unduly early to do a poll, which means that then you're also looking at a totally different threshold number, most likely, of it being, I mean, potentially. So anyway, I think that the point that Supervisor McPherson is really valid, and that I think that's what really impacts people. Normally when we do polls, I mean, we're able to outline what's specific to that, what the value is to that person in that community, as you know. I mean, normally it's always not countywide, but we have the advantage of more localized polls. But I think that's why there are issues.
I might say, just for today, that 55% threshold is having problems in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So you better not count on that. I think libraries are popular.
I'm meeting with someone from Bill Nani's office on Monday. I just wanted to say that the conversations I've had with Gene, I mean, those of you who know him know that he gets it, and I think he understands what you're all saying. And I guess I would ask that maybe let's look at the questions he's proposing and how he's proposing it, and if you don't feel comfortable with those questions and what's being asked, we can postpone. We don't have to do it right away. We can work on it, refine it, and take our time. Now, he will be gone all of October, so we, just know we'll miss that. But I think I have enough trust in him and the conversations I had with him going over potential questions. I think he gets it and will address your concerns. But I may be wrong. It may not be to your satisfaction, but I'd like to give him the chance to show us. Eventually, if we're going to fund this, we're going to need a financial measure. We're going to need a poll from him. So we're going to need to hire him at some point.
I agree.
So let's give it a shot.
Maybe a question for Gene is, how long could we wait if we were looking at options for 2014? So, maybe we are able to do some more planning on prioritization or come up with a couple different models that we would test to give people more specificity. But I don't think any of us would want to. I certainly wouldn't want to wait so long on that we're behind schedule right from the very first day that we get results back telling us we can go out to the voters. So if he could assess that,
yeah,
I'm sure he can. That's a question he's probably dealt with all the time. So
yeah, again, apologize for being, I think, in the last facilities meeting, but I've heard rumblings that there was talks that maybe the library is appropriate in one place as it is another, so we want to mix and match this with library and parks, which I'm not sure is a great idea.
That was not part of our discussion.
Okay. Well, it's been discussed other
I know it has. It is not our discussion.
There's a lot of discussion like that going on.
The other thing Gene can do is he can say, okay, if you're a City of Santa Cruz person, he can add one question that City of Santa Cruz only would answer. He could ask one question that only county residents would answer. He could ask one question if you wanted to get more granular than that, as long as you do it by zip code, only Aptos residents would answer. So there would be that opportunity for one question, because otherwise it's too much. So you can look at that in terms of if you wanted to ask a county question or get more specific, you could do that. So after asking all the library questions, you could then ask a specific, just get an idea.
I like that idea, and I don't know if it's possible to have those regional specific questions as part of the proposal that we would look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's important to see, how we're going to frame the question to Felton, to Aptos, to wherever, so that we don't we appropriately set expectations, because I think that's what we're trying to do here. Tell one area that they're going to get a new library if we go for this thing, and another one that they're going to get an expanded library, and another one that they're going to get something else, so that people do have a sense of what's in it for them, without overcommitting what's in it for them to the point where we can't deliver what they're looking for.
Yeah, raise expectations.
So like to, at this point, turn it over to the public to see if there's any comments you have regarding what you've heard. Thank you for all the discussion. This has been a very good topic to kind of flesh out. Any members of the public like to speak to this item? Sir, do you have 3 minutes?
Hi, I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. I've been hearing this idea that there's got to be something for everybody, and I find that a little bit scary. Because when I hear this discussion, I think when I vote on this, I'm probably going to be looking at what's it going to add to my tax bill. So if it was anything like $500 a year, I'm probably going to vote no. I can tell you that right now. But even at $100, I think there's 100,000 residences or so in the county. Some of those are apartments. So I don't know exactly how this translates into paying for the bond. $100 times 100,000 residences is $10 million a year. So that's a lot. I mean, that would cover the biggest thing you've got. But I don't really look at it like there has to be something for everybody. I know a few years ago we voted for, we in the county voted for Cabrillo College bonds. And I think we did that in two phases. And a lot of people don't have students at Cabrillo, or are not students themselves at Cabrillo. And yet there was this support to make those improvements there. In my neck of the woods, I know that there's been this need for the Felton Library for a long time. And if somebody says, well, we can't do a bond issue that's going to build a Felton Library unless we throw in something for Boulder Creek and something for Scotts Valley that just got built a few years ago, that seems kind of scary to me. I mean, can't we just build the Felton Library? We really have to throw all this money around it at every different branch. It's not clear to me. Another thing, you know, is this just going to be a parcel tax? Is that basically a parcel tax where everybody pays the exact same amount? If that's the only way we can do it, I guess maybe that's it. But I spend a lot of my time in Santa Clara County, and I have library cards for Santa Clara County libraries. The main reason that is because I've spent most of my life working in Santa Clara County. So if there's some way to get the employers, I mean, the reason I'm using Santa Clara County libraries is because I'm over there, and mostly because I have a job over there. And so, if there's some way to get employers to pay some of this, I'd be interested in hearing how this is going to work out. Is it just a straight property tax? I mean, a straight parcel tax on the same amount in every parcel, or is there some way to do the cost in a different way? Thanks.
Thank you. We'll bring it back and. Maybe I'll pose that question in terms of if you could give a little bit more background on the mechanics if you have it. If not, we can bring it forward at a later time.
That's why we're hiring Tim.
Okay, so some of those questions are noted, and maybe we
exactly
can propose as part of the discussion that comes up.
And there are apparently many ways
to
achieve that.
And that's why we need somebody who knows what they're doing to
answer this question. Some people are going to get much more than others. If everybody gets some, there's going to be some that get a lot more than others. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be
And this will be part of the poll, too. Funding, what revenue measure, is that going to be?
There's two options. There's a GO bond, general obligation bond, or parcel tax. I'm assuming that's the two options that we come up with, and they're both in a reasonable framework. Gene can split the poll. He will poll 500 people. He can do 250 on parcel tax and 250 on GO bond, and that would give us the information.
And I bring it up just because the discussion was about the polling, but I think when we look at this is about prioritizing our library system as a whole, the entire branch system. And it's not just looking at who gets more, who gets less. How do we make our system better by investing in maybe some necessary facility improvements? I know 2 years ago we invested in the Aptos branch. You know, there was a need for some facilities due to some deferred maintenance. We've done that in a lot of other branches as well, and I think as we start to get more information regarding the polling, I think we'll have a better picture of where our needs are so we can prioritize our investments to make our system even stronger. So I support this agenda item for that reason. I know it's early in the conversation, but looking at how we can really invest in our system, real infrastructure improvement so that we're not continually spending money on some of the types of, as Dick knows, some of these types of improvements that have been going on, or you know, deferred maintenance has been going on for the past several decades.
The timeline, if we want to put this on the June 2014 ballot, we would have to know what we're doing probably by February.
I think so.
Yeah.
You probably know better than I do.
Yeah, well, I think
I think it's about February, the number of days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So is there any additional discussion regarding this item? Is there anyone who would like to make a motion?
Well, this is the recommendation that came out of the committee, those who were there. So I'll put that on the floor as a motion.
Is there a second?
Can we just add, maybe we should specify the amount of money we're talking about in the recommendation?
It was $50,000.
I know, it's just not in the recommendation.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Just for the record.
Yeah, easier for people.
It's actually going to come in a little bit less. Actually, I've got more details
since
I
write that. But that's fine. We'll just authorize up to $50,000.
Is part of the motion going to be that Jean take a look at phasing and when we have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
This is just about the mechanics of the polling. It's just executing a contract, and Jean is very good
right. Yeah,
about
Jean's
discussing.
And I've got the direction down that you have.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the direction that we've given will be incorporated into this motion.
So it's approve a motion to authorize the library director to negotiate and execute contracts in an amount up to $50,000 in the fiscal year 13-14 budget for financial and polling services relevant to implementing the library's facilities master plan. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Second by Vice Mayor Reed. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, the next item is written communications.
Actually, report out for closed session.
Oh, yeah, report out for closed session. I skipped over that one. And I'll just report out and say that we received an update regarding labor negotiations from Assistant Santa Cruz City Manager Tina Scholl, and no action was taken. So the next item is written communications, item 11. And unless there's any questions, I was just going to comment really briefly. And I just was really touched to see a check for $15.86 from Pacific Elementary School in Davenport. I happened to run into a teacher this morning, a kindergarten teacher from out there, who commented on an amazing tour they had when they came to the library, and just coincidentally, to see that in the agenda is really touching. So just like the person that was going to get in front of our capital project, it's nice to see people focused on the small things too. Okay, are there any other questions regarding the written communications? The next item is the board meeting calendar, and there's a question about canceling the August 2013 meeting. Is there any opposition to that? Yes. Next meeting is July.
Next meeting would be September 9th.
No.
Oh.
Was our meeting scheduled July 23rd?
Monday the 22nd is a finance committee meeting, but I don't think we haven't scheduled a subcommittee meeting yet.
Okay.
We were waiting.
So the next board meeting would be
September. Okay. So I think that we can move forward with canceling that. Just consensus. And so the next regularly scheduled meeting will be Monday, September 9th, 2013, at 6:30 p.m. right here at the downtown branch library.
Actually, it's at Aptos.
Aptos Library.
You've got a copy of my agenda, which is wrong.
Okay, the Aptos Library. So we'll be out in Aptos. Always a pleasure to go out there.
I'll say.
Yeah. You guys are hosting that meeting?
Yeah.
So you're
leave early on the highway.
It's going to be a big meeting.
Okay, the meeting's adjourned.